بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام. قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، ومن يعظم شائر الله فإنها من تقوى القلوب. قال رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام: أفضل الذكر لا إله إلا الله، وأفضل الدعاء الحمد لله، وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: صدق الله وصدق الرسول، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected علماء الكرام, my brothers in Islam, firstly we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for blessing us with iman. We praise Allah jalla majdahu for blessing us with Islam. And we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for making us from the ummah of Nabi Akram sallallahu ta'ala alayhi salatu wa sallam. Our shariat is simple and complete and perfect. Maulana Ahmad Ali Lahori Ramtul Ali has stated in his summary about Surah Baqarah that if a person wants to reform, if a person wants to change, then he must adopt a 5-point formula. Concerning this formula, we have already started discussing it in various platforms, and something we mentioned during the Eidgah also. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us firstly to make his zikr, then to make shukr, to make tawbah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to respect the shiar, that means the chief symbols. Concerning zikr and dua, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one hadith stated that the best of zikr is la ilaha illallah, and the best of dua is alhamdulillah. Hazrat Ubay bin Ka'b radiallahu ta'ala anhu came to Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and stated that, Ya Rasulullah, I have devoted a certain time in the day to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For I have set out a time for wazaif, meaning certain time in the whole day I sit down and I make the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he tells Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that a portion of it I recite Durood Sharif. A portion of it I recite Durood Sharif. So Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him that it's better if you increase recitation of Durood Sharif. So Hazrat Ubay bin Ka'b radiallahu ta'ala said that, Ya Rasulullah, that out of the time allocated, one portion of it I'll devote towards Durood Sharif. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that it is better if you increase it. So Hazrat Ubay bin Ka'b radiallahu ta'ala said that, Ya Rasulullah, out of the time allocated, two portions of it I will devote to recitation of Durood Sharif. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him that it will be better if you increase it. So Hazrat Ubay says, Ya Rasulullah, for the time allocated, I'll recite three portions of Durood on it. So Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that it is better if you increase it. So Hazrat Ubay said, Ya Rasulullah, then the entire time allocated for the wazaif, for the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I will devote entirely to recitation of Durood Sharif. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, now it is good, now it is excellent. Ulama Ikram write, very simple, that recitation of Durood Sharif has got lot of excellence in it. Because, for example, if a person reads Alhamdulillah, Subhanallah, Allahu Akbar, etc., then he is pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But recitation of Durood Sharif will be pleasing and keeping Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam happy and Allah Jalla Majdahu happy. And the recitation of Durood, the word Allah is coming, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also happy and pleased, and beloved Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is happy and pleased. And we all know that recitation of Durood Sharif in the qabri, near the grave of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he himself listens to it. And if you read Durood Sharif away, then it is taken to Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, presented by the malaika to him. Concerning dua, one sahabi came in the masjid of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he read two rakat salat, and then he started making dua. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called him and said, the system and the method that you have used is not correct. Sahabi asked me, what is the system? He said, you should have come, made your salah, and then praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, recited Durood Sharif, and then made dua. At that time, another sahabi came into masjid of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and performed salah. Then he praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then he recited Durood Sharif, and then made dua. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called him and told him, see, this is what you have done. Performed your salat, then praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then recited Durood Sharif, and now making dua. He said, ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ask whatever your dua is, Allah ta'ala will grant you. So when making dua, this is the system. The system should be praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, recitation of durood upon Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then asking for whatever we want to. In my hadith it is stated that if a person reads Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, three times, it is as if to say he has directly contacted Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he reads Durood Sharif. Now everything is open. Now he can praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all that is permissible. Concerning Tawbah, respected elders, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is waiting for us. That we plead to him, seek his forgiveness. Tilka hududullah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks of the boundaries. And in these boundaries, it is our responsibility as Muslims that we should not go beyond the boundaries. You go beyond the boundaries, then we are going to be sinning. Every effort should be made that we stay within the boundaries of Islam, within the boundaries of Sharia, so that we do not displease Allah. As soon as we do something that is wrong, that we make istighfar, we make tawbah, please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, come back to the central portion. Then making the, fourthly, the shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Especially in our country, respected elders, that we should be making shukr and gratifying and being grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The amount of facilities we have got, the amount of amenities we have got, the amount of freedom we have got, and this is an un-Islamic country, this is a country of the kuffar, but still we have got so much of freedom, it is unreal. We can build masajids, we have got okaf properties, we can, our women folk can go in hijab, we perform salah. In this non-Muslim country, that in our airport we have got the finest jamaat khana. And our masajids are beautiful, and our facilities in our masajids are excellent. Go to countries where people will tell you that you miss one Jummah, the next Jummah is 100 kilometers away. Go to Islamic countries, so-called Islamic countries. I remember clearly, without mentioning names, that once after Hajj I went to one so-called Muslim country. So-called Muslim country. And when you come out of Hajj, generally they give you Qurans as gifts. So we have taken, we had the family, we took some Qurans. This so-called Muslim country, at the immigration, I gave the immigration officer one Quran. They arrested me for that. They said, come, for interrogation. In a Muslim country, to give the immigration officer as a gift one Quran, a Kareem, they arrested. And calling you, called me in for interrogation. And clearly they're telling me, you cannot do this. I said, this is a Muslim country. They said, yeah. This is a Muslim country, but you cannot distribute Qur'an here. I said, what is wrong with Qur'an al-Kareem that we cannot distribute? He said, do not tell us how to run our country. If you have to enter our country, you can't distribute Qur'an. Nevertheless, after much haggling, etc., they allowed us inside. The next day, it took me the better part of 12 hours, respected elders, to distribute 6 Qur'an to the population that is Muslim. Can you imagine now in our country we have got madaris, we've got makatib, we've got darulums, we've got institutes of learning. You can keep a beard here, you can wear a kurta here, you can transact here without interest here. How fortunate we are, but we are taking this for granted. So the formula, respected elders, for self-reformation, for self-discipline is very simple. 5-point formula to make this zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To make shukr, be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to repent, relent, go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And respected elders, that after making the zikr and the shukr, making tawbah and istighfar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then respect the shiar of Allah. Everybody wants to know what is piety, what is taqwa, and who has got taqwa. Because every other person says, no, I'm pious. I have got righteousness. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayat that I recited, that وَمَنْ يُعَزِّمْ شَعَيْرِ اللَّهِ Whosoever respects the shiar of Allah, the symbols of Allah, the characteristics of Allah, whosoever respects that, honors that, loves that, reveres that, holds that in dignity. فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَةِ الْقُلُوبِ That is a sign that person has got piety in the heart. That is the sign that person has got righteousness in the heart. Now what are the Shia? As explained previously, Shah Waliullah Delhi Rahmatullah Alayhi says that they are 4 Shia. Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Qabatullah, Kitabullah, and Salah. Now, respected elders, each one of these has got its subsidiaries. For example, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Under Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Anbiya Alayhi Salam, Sahaba Ikram, radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, coming under that is the awliya and the pious and Muslims. It is necessary, respected elders, that every Muslim respects another Muslim. Unfortunately, our policy these days is look down and degrade the Muslim, be judgmental to the Muslim, run down the Muslim. The more we speak out against each other, we feel very nice and delighted. Take out pamphlet against the Muslim, take out booklet against the Muslim, and take things against each other. And all these things, Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Shariat of Islam, detests and deplores. Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in one hadith stated that the Kaaba, talking about the Kaaba, he says if the Kaaba gets destroyed, and on the other side, if the heart of a Muslim is injured and harmed, Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I feel more hurt that the heart of a Muslim is injured and destroyed and harmed, then the Kaaba being brought down. کلمہ جو دے شیار اف اللہ دے کعبہ دے قبلہ دے بیا فیسی نبی اکرم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم سے دے ہارٹ اف اے مسلم وی شوڈ ناٹ ہرٹ اٹ بٹ دیز ڈیز willfully, purposefully, intentionally, we say things to harm people, we say things to injure people, and we think, oh, this is piety now, to run down people. So the Kaabatullah, I told you, will have its own subsidiaries. Kaabatullah, Masajid, Okaf properties, the Darulums, the Makatib, the Madaris, all that relating to the Kaaba. And then we will have the Kitabullah. Kitabullah, the Qur'an-i Kareem. The Qur'an-i Kareem, respected elders, that's why Imam Ghazali Ramtullah Alayhi stated that when Allah Jalla Majdahu has blessed you with eyesight, then look. Look at Kaabatullah. Look at Rauza Rasulullah. Look at Kitabullah. And look at Awliyaullah. Look at Kaabatullah. Every time you look at Kaabatullah, you get reward. Hadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 120 mercies descend upon Kaaba. 60 for those who are making tawaf, 40 for those who are making salah, and 20 for those who are just looking at Kaaba. So how fortunate is Haji who goes and see Kaaba and has come back? How fortunate is the Haji who has gone there to those places and he has come back? But Haji also should realize how important he himself is. And how powerful he is. His dua is stated in a hadith, is accepted 40 days after his return. So we should make every effort to meet the Haji and request him that he should make dua for us. Now, Kitabullah, when you look at the Qur'an-i Kareem, just looking at Qur'an-i Kareem, not understanding it, not even reading it, just looking at it, one is rewarded. And looking at the Rauza, looking at where Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is buried, one will get rewarded. And also, respected elders, looking at the awliya Allah, looking at the saints of Allah, looking at the pious personalities of Allah. Now, our impression is that a pious person, he must be very big in size, and also he must have big following. Four people walking in front of him, three people on the side and four people behind, all that. Oh, a person who sainthood must be half naked, full naked, he's full saint, you think. Oh, Fatawa Alamgari states, if a person is flying in the air and walking on water, but he is discarding one sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he cannot be classified as saint. He cannot be classified as saint, although he is walking on water and flying in the air. Although he is walking on the water and flying in the air. The sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is deciding factor whether a person is pious and righteous, whether a person is getting near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, respected elders, this shiar of Allah, which I am referring to, actually, there is one usul I wanted to explain to you. One principle that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Salat, the Kaaba and Kitabullah, if we respect it, Allah will honor us. If we love it, Allah will honor us. And if we revere it, we defend it, we uphold it, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect us. But if we go against it, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will catch hold of us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will destroy us. Just as Allah Jalla Majdahu destroyed those who were previously involved in going against the shiar of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is still the Allah. Allah will catch hold of the person, irrespective of whether the person is Muslim or not Muslim. See, one is, for example, to bring closer to our sense of understanding, Abraha decided to attack the Kaaba. Abraha actually in Yemen had built a place of worship. One Quraysh youngster, he went there and he urinated upon it. So Abraha got very upset. He said, "Oh, I'm coming to destroy the Kaaba." So he came with his elephants. When he came with his elephants, Now those, alhamdulillah, were built for Hajj. And you were between Mina and Arafat. When you left Mina on road number 8, then on the right hand side, you'll find one place cordoned off. One place cordoned off, these days they have got tractors there. They've got tractors and building equipment there. And they've got it cordoned off. They do not want you to be there because that is where Abraha's army was destroyed. So Abraha had camped there. And in the process, what he had done, he stole Abdul Muttalib's 100 camels. So Abdul Muttalib went to him. So Abraha was seated on his makeshift throne. Abdul Muttalib came to him. And Abdul Muttalib was a person, when he walked with dignity and might. So when he came, he was the custodian at that time of the Kaaba, a man of responsibility. He came, Abraha made him sit near him, brought the interpreter. Abraha thought, no, Abdul Muttalib has come now on his knees. He's going to plead that save the Kaaba, do not destroy the Kaaba, all that he gave. Abdul Muttalib discussing with Abraha, Abraha asked him what you came for, how you came. Abdul Muttalib told him, see, you stole my camels. You stole hundreds of my camels, bring them back. So Abraha said, I thought you were a man of intelligence. Now you ask if you have 100 camels, what is the matter with you? I've come to destroy your Kaaba and you ask me for your 100 camels. So Abdul Muttalib explains to him that, understand something. The owner of camels, I am the owner of the camels. I am the Rabb of the camels. And the owner of the Kaaba is Allah Jalla Majdahu. I will look after my property. Allah will look after his property. Abraha said, give him his camels. Gave him his camels. Abdul Muttalib told his people there, go away to the mountains. Go away, go away. Up Jabal-e-Kaab, up Jabal-e-Umar, up Jabal-e-Kubayt, go there, go away there. And he went himself to the Nukwa of the Kaaba, to the handle of the Kaaba, addressing the Rabb of the Kaaba. The crime of the Quraysh, these Mushrik, they believed in Allah. There are enough Quranic ayats to substantiate this. They believed in Allah, but they said that Allah has got partners. They said Allah has given out certain things. Like unfortunately these days too, we have got this. That we think, oh, the Anbiya alayhi salam got powers. We think the awliya got powers. We think the awliya are in charge of giving male children. Some are in charge of giving female children. We think that certain things we do, then we will get lot of barakah in business. We also indirectly are committing minor actions of shirk. They were open about it. They were committing major actions of shirk. So Abdul Muttalib addressed Allah and said, Ya Allah, you are the Rabb of the Kaaba. You look after the Kaaba. We are going. And that's exactly what happened. Point I want to prove is, see, that Abraha went against the shiar of Allah. You go against the shiar of Allah, Allah will destroy you completely. Completely Allah will destroy you. See, Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam preaching for 950 years. 950 years, that's not his age. That is preaching time. However, two things here that people generally narrate which has got no basis. They say that people should throw stones at him, he should get covered up. That is not substantiated. And they say that when he was preaching, no one was listening, etc., then people should take their clothing and plug their ears. They should take their fingers, not their clothing. And when we go against the shiar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala will destroy you. Allah told him, build the ark. When he built the ark, then these people began to jeer at him. You jeer at the shiar of Allah, wait for the punishment. You laugh at the shiar of Allah, wait for the punishment. Sooner or later it is coming, but inevitably it is coming. Whether you think you are pious or not, but if you go against the shiar of Allah, wait for the punishment. What these rascals were doing around Nuh alayhi salam, they were using it as a toilet. In the daytime, in the nighttime, they should go and pass urine and stool onto the ark. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala afflicted them with a skin disease. They had a disease, those people against Nuh alayhi salam, that their skin began to get pimples, rashes, then sores, they started smelling and stinking. All that was happening. But still they were going to the ark. Still they were going to the ark to pass out urine and stool. So one person in the night, because when a person is habituated to an evil habit, he perpetuates it irrespective of his circumstances. So this person here in the night, now he went into the ark. Now in the ark, respected elders, all those landmines are there. You understand landmines? All those landmines are there. This person is trying to negotiate. There's no torches, there's no halogen lamps there to see where he's going. So this person goes there to pass out stool in the night, and he slips on one of those mines and falls down. When he falls down and starts rolling there, these people come, his friends come, and they pull him out of there. They pull him out of there, and he's soiled, completely soiled and mixed up there with all the feces of the ark. When he comes out, in the morning they shower him. When they shower him down with water, they say all the sores are gone, all the pimples are gone, all the rash is gone, all the stench is gone, all the smell is gone. They realize, oh, that day in the ark, all that is the ointment for this ailment. So they begin to run to get that ointment. They're running there. Tafsir Ibn Kathir, Hafiz Imaduddin Rahmatullah Alayhi writes, they were running with containers there, with buckets there, to clean that ark. Allah Ta'ala is now punishing them. First punishment is coming. They're cleaning their own filth now. Because that filth, so-called, is an ointment for their ailment. The usul, again, I'm trying to say, is when you go against the shiar of Allah, wait, the punishment is coming. Wait, the punishment of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is coming, certainly. Then when they clean that ark, it was now shining. And it is stated that where the planks were put together, inside there they were taking out the feces, remaining feces, so that they could utilize it as an ointment. Meanwhile, that ark was now shining bright and clean and neat and ready for sailing. That's when it sailed. And when it sailed, respected elders, Mawlana Tariq Jabir, Zida Majdahum, he narrates one incident that two people decided that when that water started coming, they decided they would go to one cave and stay in the cave. So they sealed their cave up and they decided they would stay in the cave, the water won't reach them. And that time the water was coming from everywhere. The water was coming from the river, from the soil, from the place where the fire, where they were using for cooking, the water was coming from there. From the sky the water was coming. Everywhere the water was coming. For these two people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had special arrangements for them. That they began to urinate. When they began to urinate, they could not stop urinating. The water was flowing, the water was coming. They drowned in their own urination because the punishment was by water. The punishment was by fluid and liquid. So, coming against the shiar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the punishment is inevitable. It is stated when these Nimroz and Pati decided to put Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam into the fire. Then they gathered wood. The wood, Tafsir Ibn Kathir says, the amount of wood gathered would never be gathered again. 3 miles in radius and 3 miles up, the wood alone. And when they ignited that wood, the flames were talking to the clouds. Then they did not know how to throw Ibrahim alayhi salam into that fire. Shaitan came and taught them a method how to throw Ibrahim alayhi salam into the fire, because he had seen Jahannam and how people are thrown into Jahannam. That same system of swinging a person and letting him loose was utilized to throw Ibrahim alayhi salam into the fire. And then the fire began to cool by the order of Allah Jalla Majdahu, that Ya Naru Kuni Baradam wa Salamun ala Ibrahim, that O fire, become a place of coolness for Ibrahim alayhi salam. It is stated, one person who initiated this idea of the fire, he's standing in the thousands
One spark comes out of the fire and comes and lands on that person. Amongst the thousands that burns him on the spot. Amongst the thousands that fire comes out, the spark comes out and burns him. Who are against the Shiar of Allah, you're expecting trouble. Those who went against and destroyed Babri Masjid, you know what happened. Those who went against in Turkey, wanted to alter Quran al-Karim the next day, you know the earthquake that took place. These enemies of Islam who are now getting an economical hiding of their lives, which will continue, is a result of the cartoons and going against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This will carry on, this punishment of economical punishment will carry on. Why? Because they are going against a Nabi, and a Nabi is a Shiar of Allah, a sign of Allah. As long as they go against the Shiar of Allah, they will get the punishment. War is this not artillery? This is an economical warfare which has been unleashed as an azab onto the entire world. Why? Because we are not respecting the Shiar of Allah, not respecting and honoring the symbols of Allah. May Allah Ta'ala grant us the ability to respect every Shiar of Allah Jalla Majduhu. Inshallah, time for Salah, for your Sunnah, and then inshallah khutbah and namaz. Wa akhir da'wan, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Thank you.